Luke chapter 19, the sermon today will come from verses 5 and 6. Hear the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. Let us pray and ask God again to bless the preaching of the word. Father, I ask that you will move upon your people to pray for me, that the weakness which I feel in my chest and my voice will be healed, and that the message which you have laid upon my heart for your people and for those who are yet not with us will be blessed. We ask that you would do these things, that your kingdom may be built and be made strong in this place. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus said, today, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The message I believe that has been laid upon my heart for you this morning is one which comes as a preparation sermon for the Lord's Supper, which will be administered next week. You see, the larger catechism says, as we are to prepare for the Lord's Supper, we are to examine ourselves whether or not we be in Christ. And so I ask of you, children, I ask of you, adults, old and young, to examine yourselves. I am convinced that hell is full of people today who are church members. I am convinced that hell today is filled with people who came to the Lord's Supper. I am convinced today that there were people that woke up after that sleep of death in this life, and they woke up to a burning hell, thinking they were Christians. This sermon comes to us from a story about Zacchaeus, a man who was a renowned sinner. But Jesus called him a son of Abraham. And I deduce, therefore, that he was a church going. Indeed, he had to be, because where else would you network, especially in the Jewish community? If you did not go to synagogue, you were lacking in many of the riches which Zacchaeus had. Zacchaeus was a rich man, but he was a rich man because of the gain which he had, which was by cheating even his own people. And therefore, they knew he was a sinner. Perhaps he sat in the back, not to be seen. Perhaps he did not stay very long, but left as soon as he made his face known, that he may have the benefits of a synagogue membership, of being a son of Abraham, but without the actions which are actual fruit thereof. And it's interesting here that Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, but he's not able to. He tends to be, I take it, a short man. He was not like my pastor and very tall. He was a man who was very short. And therefore, he wants to go of his own volition to see Jesus. You see, he does everything he can within his own nature that he may ascend to a level high enough to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I take from this an example of what it is like for modern man. Modern man desires to see Jesus Christ. They're impressed by him. What a great teacher that he is. What great wisdom that he has. Look at this criminal who was tried and executed. And look how many followers he still has today. He must have said some very powerful things. And so they ascend up their sycamore tree. within their own natures, they get as high as they can that they may see Him. They engage in textual criticism, seeing what they think Jesus might have said and maybe what His followers may have added. They're scholars, smart men, rich men, deceiving men. They are sinners and they ascend this sycamore tree, but they're not able yet to see Him. But the first thing we see in our text in verse 5 is that although Zacchaeus could not see Christ, although it is true that he tried all that he could to see Him, Christ saw him. Jesus came to the place where he was and he looked up. We imagine in some ways that he looked up as if he was just looking at the birds which were singing. But we know this is not the case. He looked up because he knew exactly where Zacchaeus was. This Jesus is God and man. And the God-man knows where Zacchaeus was. He knows his state of stature. He gave it to him. He knows he was seeking after it. And he knows that the exact thing which Zacchaeus needed this day, that salvation may come to his house, is to hear these words which he spoke unto him. Zacchaeus! He calls him by name. Have you ever heard Christ speak to you by name? Has he called upon you in your sins, in your ascent to see him? And has he said these words, "Make haste, quickly, come down from where you are at"? And this haste which he says is one which, you think Zacchaeus would stay in the tree? Do you think he would wait a while, or do you think he would immediately descend it? No, the Lord gives to him a double reason to make haste. Not only did he have it here in the imperative, a command, make haste, come down, you must come down, but he also says, today. And not tomorrow. And this is the word that Jesus has for each and every one of us. He calls us by name this morning and he is saying, you must not stay in the state in which you were born. You must not stay in the state in which you are seeking him this morning. If you are to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are to commune with him at the supper and actually do so worthily and actually have a benefit, you must repent. You must stop ascending that tree of your nature, which will never get you to him. There is no tower tall enough that you may find him. There's only one way in which you may have the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and is that in that you reject all other ways, but this way you come to him. You obey his word. You come down from that tree. And that is often put in scripture in this way. Repent. Repent. You see, repentance is like this. It's like going up a tree and realizing you can only go so far before you fall and you die. But if you will come down, if you will take this direction is this direction, and you just take the opposite direction, and you come down, and you go to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not perish. This is how Jesus said it. And children, if you have your bulletin, you'll see, I only want you to remember two things that Jesus said. And this is the first thing. Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. That is to die. If Zacchaeus did not come down from that tree, he would die. And I tell you, children, I tell you, members of Phoenix Reformed Presbyterian Church, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What does it mean to perish? To perish is not just for that breath to leave the body. To perish is to have the soul leave the body and to be sent to hell.
And what is hell? Hell is not what so many think of today. So many today take comfort in hell. They say, I can't wait to go to hell because I'm going to be with my friends. That's what they think. They say, hell is a great place for me to go because it's going to be like this. I'm going to die and then nothing. It's not true. You will have no friends in hell. You will not have nothing after this last breath in this life. And in hell, if you hate God this morning, you will not get away from Him either. So many think this. They think, I can't wait to go to hell because then I don't have to deal with God and His rules. I have news for you this morning. Hell is where God is. Only His wrath. Only His judgment. There's justice in hell, which cannot be described except as Scripture describes it, hellfire and brimstone. Or as it says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 10, those in hell will drink of the wine of the wrath of God in the presence of God, it says, in the presence of the Lamb. Jesus will be looking on you and you will have pain beyond any pain in this world. Some of us have pain in the body. And as we grow older, we all will have a certain pain in this body. But it cannot compare to that pain in which Jesus Christ felt upon the cross when the full wrath of God was poured out upon Him, in which the very blood of His body was separated and it pooled on the ground for the sins of His people. But if that is not your Jesus, then it must be upon you and not upon Him. And so, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish in hell. What is repentance? You should be asking yourself, have I repented? Will I die today and see hell, even though I'm a church member? Repentance unto life, you see, is this, that you hate your sin, that you know the danger of your sin, that you know the filthiness and the odiousness of your sin. I drove in it today. I had to go to Pastor John's last night. His refrigerator stopped working. And instead of cooling the nice red meat, it heated it. And the house stunk. And as I was taking that food and I was bagging it up into bags, I was thinking, this is like our sin before God. Stinking red meat, vegetables black and charred by heat. And it's repugnant. You step into the house and it takes hold of your nostrils and it pulls at it and it's making the contents of your stomach well up into your throat. It's a disgustingness. Is your sin like that to you today? Have you repented? Are you grieving today because you hate your sin? Have you repented in such a way that you're turning away from that sin? And you're heading towards Jesus like Zacchaeus had to head down from the tree. Are you walking with Christ today? Because not only did Jesus say, make haste, come down, for today, not tomorrow, I must come unto your house. And therefore they must walk from that sycamore to the house. There's some here today who may be nominal, maybe Christians who are just Christians in name. And you don't have an urgency that this is what God's calling you to today, like He called to Zacchaeus. I want to tell you about a boss I used to have. She was on drugs. This is when I worked in the hotel business. And she came gloriously out of her addictions. She did not do so through the gospel. She did so because she had reached the lowest portion of her life And she said, I will not take it anymore. I want to be clean so I can live a normal life.
And so instead of being addicted to drugs, she became addicted to work. She was a wonderfully hard worker. Impressive hard worker. I remember sharing the gospel with her one day as I was transitioning from the front desk to her department in maintenance. I remember her saying, Chris, I believe in God. I believe in a God that when I'm dying and I pray for Him to forgive me, He'll forgive me in all my sins. And she took comfort that God would do that for her. And I affirm that, yes, there are indeed thieves on the cross. My own great-grandmother was saved as she was dying. But I also would like to tell you that if Zacchaeus did not come to Christ, he would have perished when Jesus came and commanded him, make haste, come down, for today I must come to your house, not tomorrow. And this boss of mine, not too many days from that time, had her mother contract cancer. And after her mom died of cancer, she did as well. She died. A young woman, she died thinking that she would have time. But the gospel came to her and she would not take it at that time. I'm telling you, come today to Jesus and not tomorrow. Because who says that you will have time tomorrow? Today is the day. Don't boast yourself of tomorrow like my boss did. I remember another older lady, which was so fearful for her life. She was also had contracted cancer, and it was taking her life. And I remember taking her hand. And I feel guilt today because I don't remember exactly what I told her. I would like to think it was just a beautiful picture of the gospel, but I don't remember. I don't remember having an urgency with her, even though she knew that it was close. I remember her crying and saying, Chris, I'm scared. I'm scared to die. I'm not sure what I told her that day, but I know what I would tell her if she was here today. I would say, today is the day of salvation. Repent of your sins that is making you scared today to go before Him, to die of your cancer, and just come to Jesus. Are you afraid of your sins today? Have you repented of them? Or are you resting in your membership? Are you resting in your family or the religion in your family? The family worship. Family worship doesn't get you to heaven. Repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see how graceful the Lord Jesus was to Zacchaeus. Do you see how this was a perfect picture of grace and mercy? Zacchaeus was a robber, like those who were on the cross next to Jesus. One of them rejects Jesus and the other accepts Him. And Zacchaeus is like that one that accepts Him. And the Lord Jesus could say to Zacchaeus, even as He did that thief on the cross, today, not tomorrow, today I will see thee in paradise. And He says the exact same thing to Zacchaeus. He says in verse 9, Jesus said unto Zacchaeus, this day is salvation. Today is salvation that has come to this house, and it can come to you today. Children, this is the second thing that you must know. When Jesus said, today I must abide at thy house, Zacchaeus, He was calling on Zacchaeus to trust in Him. He was calling on Zacchaeus to believe on Jesus Christ as He who can save him from his sin. We know the sin of Zacchaeus was on his mind, for he said in repentance, "I will give fruit of repentance." We see it in verse 8 where he said, "I will give half of my goods to the poor. I will take everything that I've stolen from people and give back to them fourfold." That's true repentance. And that's why he followed Jesus back to hear from this prophet of God, this God-man, his Savior. Here's the second thing, children, that you must know. Not that you just must repent, but also you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is what Jesus said. "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." He sent the Lord Jesus because He loved His people that so much He would die for Him. You want a friend today? Here's a friend for you. One that would lay down His own life for you. And He says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you must believe on Him, not tomorrow. Saving faith is by the Spirit of God. And if you feel the Spirit of God upon your hearts this morning, you must respond. Two thieves are the example for you this morning. If you reject Christ this morning, you're like that one faith, and he didn't have, this thief did not have tomorrow. When the other one, he accepted Christ, and you must as well. For who says you have tomorrow at all? I'm reminded of what I recently read of a pastor's wife, a Nigerian pastor's wife, 29 years of age, one child, her husband preaching in the pulpit. She slumps down in the pew, and the last breath comes from her mouth with her child next to her. The Lord took her. He gives life, and He has the right to take it at any moment. She did not have tomorrow. Who is to say that you will? This is a providential mercy that you have been given the gospel this morning. I think of the way Jesus looked up and He made eye contact with Peter when he had denied Him three times. How many times have you denied Jesus Christ? How many times have you stood here? Have you taken of the cup and the bread? How many times have you heard the sermons? One time, two times, three times. But when the Lord Jesus Christ locked eyes with you, He is calling you to Himself. Do you remember what Peter did? He ran and he cried. He repented of his sin and he placed his faith anew upon Christ. I'm pleading with you this morning, if you're young, if you're a child this morning, and you are still under the care of your parents, this is a message for you. It wasn't too long ago when I, with Pastor John, was visiting a family out in Buckeye. And his little child, he died. Seven years of age. He died. He was ziplining and the rope wrapped around his throat. And he hung. There was no one there to rescue him. And he died. And as I was talking to his father, his mother was in such grief she wasn't able to talk to me. But I talked to the father. Listen to the comfort in this father's story. He said, "Chris," he said, "2 days ago, listen to the mercy of God. 2 days ago, during family worship, my little," and he said his name, "got up on my lap and said, 'Daddy, I don't know whether I would go to heaven today. Can you show me?'" And the father took him on his lap and he said, "Let me show you the gospel." He was a pastor. He knew how to share the gospel. He's probably done it from the pulpit and looked his child in the eye. But 2 days before this child died, his father was able to share the gospel with him.
his child said, "Father, I want this for myself." And he accepted Jesus that day, and just a day later, he barely had tomorrow. He was hung until he died. Children, this is the comfort and the joy of not just your parents, but also Christ Jesus. He went to the cross and died for the joy that was set before him, that the children of his covenant would come to him. And he's saying to you today, repent and believe Jesus Christ, that he can be yours today, just as he was that child who did not live past 7. This message is one which I plead to you who are old. You who have gray hairs today, you are not exempted from this message. There are many gray-haired old men, old women, which are in hell today. I, as a young minister, am interested in reading other pastoral ministries from men who have had many years, who have retired or have even gone to be with the Lord. And I was reading of one from Ireland this past week. And he told a story about an Irish Presbyterian woman of 76 years of age. This woman was a communicant member. This woman was a tither, giving of her wealth to the church forever. She knew the larger catechism, this minister said. She knew the shorter catechism as well. She was brought up with parents who were missionaries. She was everything that so many of you are today. 76 years of age. And when that minister, was it her minister? He was a Free Presbyterian. She was of the mainline Irish Presbyterian Church. When this minister opened up and said, "I want to share a little of Christ to you today." And he opens up to John. And he tells her she needs to be born again if she ought to be in heaven this day. She was ill, you see. And she was close, and she knew she was close to death. And you would have think she would have said how happy she was that he shared that and to give her testimony. Instead, anger was in her heart. And she said, "How dare you share? You know I will not have anything about this being born again thing. Do you know what I've done for the church? Do you know how many years I've been in the church? Do you know that I not only know the shorter catechism, the larger catechism, but I know many of the verses as well from memory, more than most of my ministers for that reason. Do you know how much I have given to the church? Do you know how much I do for the church? How dare you say I must be born again?" The minister said, "Well, I understand that you're angry with me, but I was not going to allow you to go to hell today and have you say, 'Well, the minister that you sent didn't even tell me about this gospel, that ye must be born again if you are to be saved.'" And so he was starting to leave with that tenseness still in the air, but he sensed a tear from this Irish Presbyterian woman's eye. And he turned back around and he said, "Will you be rejecting Christ today?" And she responded in this way. She said, "Do you think Jesus would accept a 76-year-old woman's sins and wash them away in the very darkness of her life?" And he said, "Glorious. This is the gospel. Jesus will. He's paid for it with his own sin, with his own cross in which our sins were placed." And she came to Jesus that day, 76 years old, communicant member, catechism knowing Presbyterian. Reminds me of my barber. My barber one day said, "Chris, do you believe people actually can go to heaven when coming on their deathbed? Aren't they just doing that because they are, they're afraid? They're just afraid. They want their get out of jail free, get out of hell free card. And I told him about my great-grandmother, who it was the hospice chaplain. That would be a cool chaplain job. Who came to her at, I believe she was 92 years old. Shared the gospel with her. She became a Christian that day. This is what the gospel is about. It's nothing of us. It's all of Jesus so that He can save us in the last day of our life here on earth. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Don't boast in tomorrow. Who knows what today will bring? Who knows if you'll make it through to that time? Perhaps you feel sickness today in your bones. Know that that's a precursor to the sickness of your soul that you will feel for the rest of eternity if you do not come to Christ today. Perhaps you're not sure of your salvation today. I submit to you there are so many people who are not sure of their salvation, and yet this is how they may be sure. They can look upon today as the day that they hear the word of Christ and they accept His word, even as Zacchaeus did. They make haste. They come down and they go with Him, and He will go with you to your house. A day of salvation. It reminds me of this William Haslam. I love this story because it's about a pastor who was not saved. He lived in England in the 1800s. He contracts the disease. He gets scared. He says, "Lord, You save me, I'll serve You." And so he did. He became a pastor. For years, he labored in preaching. They were dry. They lacked the substance of the gospel, because he was only responding to a vow, not to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this William Haslam only had head knowledge of the gospel. He had never truly been saved. One day, his gardener fell ill and he was pronounced a dying man. Haslam had nothing to say to comfort the man. But a Christian neighbor, you said, led him to Christ. And he saw and watched this joy of eternal salvation come to one who was ill. And it troubled him. He knew he was missing something. And it bothered him so much that he was constantly thinking upon the text he was to preach this Sunday, which was in 1851. He took the text from Matthew 22, verse 42, that says this: "What think ye of Christ?" As he spoke, his inner conscience was telling him, "You are no better than the Pharisees, Haslam." But as he kept preaching, his face changed, his heart lift upward, imagining this happening. And something happened within him that was so discernible that those in the pews realized it. And someone, just one of the guys that probably said amen, instead of saying amen, he jumped up and said, "The preacher is converted! Hallelujah!" Instantly, the several hundred attenders began praising God and singing from Psalm 100. At least 20 people were saved that day, in addition to the pastor himself. Others were saved as this news spread of the preacher who had been converted by his own sermon. How much more must you be converted as well, even as Zacchaeus was converted at the words of Jesus? Repent and believe the gospel. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before You a weak and broken people. We know that even as it was for Zacchaeus, so it is for us, that today we must come unto You. We must get down from the sin of our hearts. We ask that You will do this. We ask that you will do this not only for the sake of those who are lost. For we know, even as Jesus says later on in this text, we know that Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. Oh, Jesus, help. Help. Save the soul who's lost this morning. Enable each and every one of us to come worthily to your supper next Lord's Day. Let the words of Jesus Christ forever be a ringing in our ears. Repent and believe on Him who Thou hast sent. We thank You for this glorious gospel and the joy that it brings. The joy that was on William Haslam's face and the joy that was on every face of those who accept the Lord Jesus today and not tomorrow. We thank You that You are our God. We pray that You will bless us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for His sake. Amen. I invite you to open up your Psalters to Psalm 77.